There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. This is yet another podcast for Passive Wealth for High-Tech Minds. We invite a lot of guests, and today we have distinguished guest Michelle from fearlessinnovator.com. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Prashant.
So Michelle is an author and real estate innovator. You know, she transformed her career from IT professional to a full-time real estate investor. Moving from a job she was passionate about, but had no control over her schedule in life, she discovered the potential of real estate investing. She was hooked. As an innovative problem solver, accomplished project manager, master connector, and fearless action taker, she navigates investing opportunities and challenges head on. After years of experience in single family homes and multifamily properties in different states, she is now involved in developing an RV park in Florida. Michelle, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are going to talk a lot. Today is going to be a good day for our listeners. As we were talking, I like your brand, Fearless Innovator. Tell us story behind that name,
Michelle. So I grew up on a farm in Iowa, and both of my granddad and my father were both innovators. So my grandfather invented the round hay baler, and it's the big one that you see along the sides of the roads. So my grandpa invented that. My dad also invented what's called a dripless coupling, which goes behind a tractor, the hydraulics. And growing up as a kid, I never knew what fear was because my grandfather grew up during a depression. So what he did is he developed things as a necessity. And then he taught those skills and everything to my dad. And then my dad passed those same thoughts and values onto me. So growing up as a kid, my dad would just tackle things fearlessly. And he was an innovator. And when I was coming up with my podcast, I needed a name. And I was like, you know what? I was in IT for 25 years. And I'm an innovator. I'm not a farm innovator, but I'm a different type of innovator, and I am fearless. So that's where the name came from, Fearless Innovator.
Awesome. Michelle, I know, you are a perfect guest for this podcast that I have because your background is in IT, you are fearless, and you have done so much in real estate. So you are going to be of great value for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about your journey in real estate. Besides IT, how did you slowly move into real estate full time? How did you start to begin with?
So I had a friend, Patsy, that in 2000, she was living in a townhome and she wanted to sell it. So she listed it, but nobody was biting on it. And she wanted to move from Tampa up to Charlotte. And so she came to me one day and she said, Michelle, why don't you just buy it? And I'm like, I don't know how to buy real estate. But she knew I had a little bit of money and it was only a $50,000 investment. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So I ended up and bought her townhome and I got a Buccaneers ticket in the process. But anyway, it allowed her to move to Charlotte. So now I had this townhome, but I didn't know how to get renters. I didn't have a maintenance crew. I didn't know any of that. So I learned by a fire hose on all of these things. And so that's what got me started. And once I did that, another unit came up available in the same neighborhood and I went and bought that one. And that was my second one in my portfolio. And then over the years, my portfolio just got bigger because I enjoyed it and I was learning more and I was learning the value of passive income.
Wow. So you started with one town home and you just that you stumbled upon because your friend asked you to do it. And how long ago was that, Michelle?
That was in 2000.
That was not that long ago. I mean, yes, It seems like 22 years ago from now, if you think about it. But
right.
2000 really wasn't that long ago from a real estate perspective, because we had 2008, 2009 slumps and stuff like that. But those who bought in 2000, obviously that property would have, appreciated
correct
quite a bit now.
Correct.
So you went into one town homes to multiple town homes, and how many properties you had? What is your transition into multifamily and to RV parks?
Okay, so this is a long transition period. So I started in 2000, and over the course up until 2008, 2009, I had acquired 8 properties in total, and I was self-managing them, and I was working full-time as an IT project manager. So it can be done. Anybody can do it. If I can do it, everybody can do it. But I will tell you that I still hadn't learned all the lessons that I wanted to learn. But because of that passive income in 2017, actually in 2019, no, I lied, 2017, I was able to quit my job. And when I quit my job, then I went and took a 6-month class with Robert Kiyosaki online. And it cost me a lot of money, but I didn't care. I wanted to get the education. So I took the class online. And then after that, I wanted to do more in real estate. And that's what kind of prompted me to get into multifamily.
Interesting journey. I mean, I know it is like you said, as you know, you can do it. Anybody else can do it, but it is a lot of work. I mean, managing nine properties yourself, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Looking back, what could you have done differently if you have to do it again? I mean, what would you have been your strategy?
Okay, so there's one thing that always I look back and said, wow. Actually, there's two. One is I didn't have a tribe. Nobody was helping me, and I didn't even know that there were people out there that could help me. So had I joined up with a mentor perhaps, or someone that could have taught me things, I probably would have learned a lot quicker. But as it was, I was out there on my own floundering. And it wasn't until I took the Robert Kiyosaki class that I started joining different groups, REA groups in the area. And that just opened up a whole new world to me. I have met amazing people in this space. And now my education level has skyrocketed. And I know a lot more about real estate than I ever did when I first started.
Interesting. So basically what you are saying is, yes, you can, you all can do it. But you need to spend some time. I mean, obviously you need to learn some, you have to have a mentor, so to say, or a group. You said it correctly. You have to have a tribe where you can run your ideas by, right? And what happens to these people? I know you are an IT manager, and your significant other, was busy at that time or whatever, or a normal family, where husband and wife both are working together and they don't have time. They don't even have time for their kids. What would be your suggestion to them? I know we are talking from a passive standpoint. Mm-hmm. How can somebody like that be involved in real estate?
Okay, so I was just an I, meaning I was just a single person, right? So the one regret that I do have, and I know you didn't ask me that, but the one regret that I have is that I didn't get out of the rat race. It took me 17 years to get out of the rat race. Had I gone and found my tribe and whatever, I would have been out of that rat race earlier. And so what I did, I was working full time and had these 8 assets, right? And it did become cumbersome because I was traveling every week and I would be gone. I used to have horses. I had to give them up because I couldn't even take care of them. So what I did is I decided I got fired at one point, and that inspired me to even do more, but I went into consulting myself. And I was in control of my hours. So after that consulting gig was up, which was about 2 years, I went back and took a part-time job, just a part-time job so they could get me through the hump. So in other words, I work 32 hours a week. The other time I spent doing real estate. So I gradually worked my way out of that job.
Awesome. What a commendable story. You know, you started with single families, you were fired also, you know, that was obviously not the best thing, but that motivated you to come back to real estate with full force. And then you did the consulting. Obviously in consulting, we all know we end up making a little bit more than our regular jobs. Plus you got control of your time.
Correct.
So that's a very good progression. I mean, one thing I usually tell my listeners is start early.
Right.
Start early in your career. I would like to hear your thoughts about that. You know, what would you suggest?
You know, I talk to a lot of younger people than myself. I'm 58 and I wish I had started in my 20s because I would be so much further along. And so I like coaching people like that because they're energetic, got a lot of energy. And they really stay focused. So yes, I wish that I would have started in my 20s. I'd have probably been out of the rat race by 25 back then, you know, taking me 5 years versus 17.
I mean, I must tell you, Michelle, one thing is whomsoever I ask this question, they have given me the same answer as you have given me.
Really?
And I have, and including me, I feel the same. I started in real estate after 40 and, you know, I wish I could have started when I was 25.
Hindsight is always best.
Yeah. Yes. Irrespective of whether you are jumping into single family, irrespective of whether you are jumping into multifamily as a passive investor, I think the message is always consistent. Start early in your life.
Yep. Yep, it is. Absolutely. But I would tell you that at age 20, like when I was in college, real estate really wasn't on my mind. And I didn't really have a mentor back then to, you know, guide me and down that path. Although if I had really listened to what my family was doing, they were farmers and essentially they were real estate people. They just used farming as a means to an end, you know? And so my mom and dad were actually real estate people, but I never put two and two together until later in life when I went to write my book, actually. And
yeah, so very good point. I mean, you are there in the thick and thin of it all the time, but still, because we do not have the awareness that, yes, the real estate could make us money passively or actively for that matter. And it could be a residual income. I mean, you were working in IT. Obviously, it took you a number of years to become a manager. Mm-hmm. But during that time, you could have had, you know, multiple assets or started investing early in your career. And you could have been at a different place, including me. I mean, I'm talking about myself, not just you.
Right.
That's a message I'm trying to communicate to our listeners that folks who are listening to these, I mean, these things are golden nuggets. I mean, develop awareness in your mind that there are some tangible asset classes which can create so much value for you in the long run. If you are at, you know, 20-25 in that range, by the time you're 35, you would be a millionaire.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I missed the boat, right? I'm going to make it though. I'm going to make it.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. And good luck to that, Michelle. That's it. So now basically, you know, tell us a little bit more about your multifamily experience and RV experience.
Okay. So once I mastered, I'll say mastered in my own terms, the landlord, you know, after a period of time, I had mastered it and it just became kind of boring. So I re-educated myself and took some more classes. And at the offset of that, I was actually working with a real estate agent and he was, we were doing flips together. So in other words, I would supply the money, but he did all the work, which was great for me because I could, this is when I was working still, right? Yeah. So, but at the end of that, after taking the Robert Kiyosaki class, I was like, you know what? I can do this flip thing myself. I'm going to go fire him. So I scheduled a meeting and we met. And I say fire, it wasn't like that. We're still friends to this day. But I just told him, I said, Jim, you know what? You inspire me to do this on my own. And I want to start fresh. I want to do this on my own. And I said, and I want to make mistakes. And he said, Michelle, don't, please don't do it. I can help you with every step of the way. And I said, no, I don't want your help. So I went and got my own real estate agent, a different one. And I bought a house and I was going to flip it. So after that, I put too much money into it and I bought it at the wrong price. And when I went to sell it, it wouldn't sell. My new real estate agent called me up and he said, Michelle, I don't know what happened, but the market in that specific neighborhood dropped $10,000. And I said, I think I know what happened. And he goes, what? And I said, did you hear about on the news, the guy that killed his wife and buried her in the backyard? I said, that house is six blocks from my house. I said, nobody wants to live here. So I did what I call that in my book is the flip that flopped. However, there is a good ending at the end of that. But that also, at the same time I bought that house, the same real estate agent had a multifamily 8-unit apartment complex for sale. And I had never owned commercial property before. And I didn't know a thing about it, but he helped me walk through the steps of doing it, made me feel very comfortable. And I ended up negotiating this deal and I got it for a really good price. It didn't come without issues though. They actually had a seawall issue. But I knew that I was going to probably try to, you know, get that fixed when I owned it. And my goal was to raise the rents as far as I could. And as people would move out, I would upgrade the units. And then over time, all the units would get upgraded and then I would sell it. Well, and I also borrowed hard money on this deal. So hard money, you pay more interest. It was 10% interest. And I had to repay the loan back or refinance within a year. So that year was coming up. And here's some things that I learned about the multifamily. One, the area in which this place was located was the only people that actually lived in this area were people that worked in bars and restaurants. Well, they can't afford, you know, what I wanted to raise my rents to. Plus this property was on the water. It was beautiful, but I couldn't raise my rents. So I learned that hard lesson. Another hard lesson I learned is that there were other investors in my neighborhood and they were paying for water and electric. Well, so that reduced my, you know, my income. So at the end of that, getting close to that year, I decided to sell it after the updates and everything were made. And so I sold it. But I will tell you that I made $350,000 on that deal.
In 1 year. One year.
So,
I mean, think about, you know, you had 8 properties, which took you 8 years. But in one multifamily property, which took you 1 year from the get-go to, you know, from starting the deal till the end of the deal. And you end up making whopping $350,000, and it may not be a big amount now for you, but back then I'm pretty right. sure that it was a big amount.
Right.
$350,000 from one property. So this is for our listeners, you know, guys, if you are in real estate, you could be a single family active investors, or you could be passive investors, but as you scale up,
yeah. you
know, from 8 single family homes in 8 years, and then one multifamily of 8 unit in 1 year, and ended up making good chunk of money. I mean, the returns, if you had investors, they would have made money right. with you, if you had investors in this deal with you.
Right.
So the depth, the scalability, what had it been a 16 unit property, you would have made even more.
Correct.
So I'm just trying to emphasize the points. How people can scale up.
Yes, that's exactly what I've done throughout my whole career in real estate. Started, you know, with one little townhouse, got multiple single family homes, moved to commercial. Once I got to commercial, the flip that flopped that I told you about, well, I went to plan B. You know, I learned a lot in project management. We always have plan A, plan B, plan C. Well, plan B for the flip that flopped was I just put it on the rental market, right? So I put it on the rental market and I found great renters and they paid on time every month for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, I said to them, look, I think I'm going to be selling this property. Would you be interested in buying it? And they said, yes, they would be interested, but Michelle, we don't have great credit. I said, it's okay. Cause I already know that you're going to pay your bills and I will use the amount of money that you've given me for the first 2 years as your deposit. And so now I'm a mortgage holder and now I clearly don't have to do, I don't have to fix a roof. I don't have to fix any toilets. All I do is I collect a paycheck every month towards their mortgage. Now, what I am doing though is one of the things that I also do is I like to help people. So I'm giving them 5 years to get their credit score up and to get me out of the deal because I'm charging them 10%, and they know this straight up. They could go to the bank right now. I don't know what I know their interest rates changed the other day. It's 4 to 5%, something like that. But they could go refinance right now if their credit was good. And they could cut their payment in half.
Yeah.
So I'm giving them 5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, there are so many techniques, what I'm hearing. Yeah. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not like one shoe fit all. There are so many techniques, so many tools that you have. And whether you are in single family or in the rental portfolio or in multifamily, there's so many ways you can create these stream of incomes, you know, and they keep coming. I mean, you just keep on adding to them. You know, it's not like they're going to dry up. I mean, if this thing dries up, you know, if you are there in the market, right, you will create something new.
Well, so to your point, I did create something new. I'll share that with you. Okay. So years ago in 2005, I bought a piece of property in Odessa. It's 1.65 acres. When I got here, there was a two-story building with a house on top and a double wide. I lived upstairs and built a brand new 4-bedroom, 3-bath pool home right next to this two-story building. Well, once the house got built, I said to my dad, I'm like, what am I going to do with two places on one property? And he said, well, why don't you go over there to that? Isn't that 1.65 acres over there for sale? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, why don't you move it over there? So I'm like, wow, what a concept. So in Iowa, we move buildings all over the place. In Florida, not so much. They don't do that here. Well, I hired a team out of Dade City. They came down, cut the bottom of the building off. It was nothing but a garage. They lowered it down and moved it over there, and I made it a rental. But here's the other thing. I was single for so many years. I just got married on May 7th. I mean, I'm just brand new getting married.
Congratulations. May 7th, 20 days.
Right. Oh, funny. So I lived in this house, this 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. Oh, what happened was in 2009, the market fell. I planned on flipping this house and getting out of it. Well, the market fell, so I had to keep the house. So I've lived in this 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with a pool for, you know, 15 years. Well, I decided 2 years ago, right before COVID, I think, I decided to move out of my house and into my RV. Mm-hmm. So I downsized, moved into my RV, and I live in the barn with my RV. But what I did with my primary residence and the house next door is that I have them on both on short-term rental. And so now it's another cash flowing now my primary residence is a cash flowing asset. I've house hacked my own house. And I have guests checking in this weekend. I've already got guests checked in today for my house next door. And I have a lot of long-term guests going to be checking in. So it's been fun. I meet really cool people.
Wow. This is amazing. You know, you are such a motivational story. You know, you have just a bunch of things, you know, one after another.
Right.
I'm hoping that, you know, our listeners are getting the hang of what can be done in real estate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's not by taking a lot of risk. I mean, yes, you have invested money, but you have created the value in the real estate, right? I mean,
Correct. Every
money, every cent, every dollar you have put in, you have created the value, you have improved the value of the asset. So it's not that money is lost anywhere. It feels like, you know, you just continue to build and continue to create these income streams from all over the places. And you know, slowly you end up either quitting your job or you don't need to work anymore. And nowadays you can potentially be anywhere. I mean, you could be in Idaho, or you can be in Florida, or I mean, for that matter, you know, I could be, you may be sitting in Canada, or I mean, I may be sitting in India for that matter, you know, right now. So
yeah, last year, last summer, I got in my RV and I went home to Iowa to see my mom. She's in a nursing home up there. So I was there for 3 months and I worked right out of my RV. They had fiber service. It was awesome. And you could tell I was in an RV because of the whole window situation, but I was able to do my job anywhere I wanted. Yeah. And I have fun doing it. I love real estate.
Interesting. Interesting. Tell us a little bit more about your RV park adventure, Michelle, if you don't mind.
Okay. So how did I get started? I've been researching RV parks for 2.5 years now. And what inspired me was years ago, my mom and dad used to come from Iowa to Florida every year in their RV. And I would go stay with them for a month. And I would go to my job from their RV. And I told my dad then, I said, you know, I would like to own one of these one day. Well, shoot, that was like 20 years ago, right? Here I am now just starting to do it. So anyway, that inspired me. So I've been on the hunt. I have looked at, I swear I've looked at a bunch of RV parks, but nothing has tickled my fancy. And because of my background in Iowa, living on a farm, I decided, you know what? I'd rather develop my own because I'm going to get what I want out of the park. And here's the thing. The park that I'm going to develop is going to be a high technology based park. I am going to use technology in the park. So now I am working with a consultant, got another consultant because I've never owned an RV park. This guy will do everything from a feasibility study to project management of the job from dirt to finish. And then he also does the operation side. So he'll be guiding me the whole way through. So I'm very much stoked. And there's an RV park conference this week or next weekend in Daytona Beach. So I'll be going to that as well.
Awesome. Mind full of information that you have given us so far. I mean, starting from single family to multifamily to, you know, RV parks and fixing and flipping and creating the, you know, rental portfolio for yourself. I mean, all this can be done in real estate. I mean, and you can enjoy your life, you know, while, you know, if you love doing what you are doing. So, I mean, the message I think for our listeners is once again, is start early, start. I mean, if you don't have time, maybe start passively, you know, start passive investing and hopefully, you know, as you go one or two cycles, couple of years, you start getting the hang of it.
Correct.
Right. I mean, and that's how I'm assuming, Michelle, you said it took you 15, 17 years to come to that level. And now you are free. You are like a free bird. I mean, you can live in Iowa for a couple of months and still manage your business.
Right. I do. Right? I can do everything remotely. Even when I was in Iowa last year, I had my two houses here on short-term rental. Well, I was engaging with the customers, but I also delegated. I delegated all my yard work, which now I've got 3.5 acres out here. I delegated the pool to my pool people. I delegated the cleaning to the cleaning people because they're better at it than I am. And you know what I get a lot? I wanted to bring up this point is a lot of people will say that I'm lucky, and there's no luck in this game. It's a lot of hard work. I don't want to deceive your listeners because it is a lot of hard work. But if you are motivated and are willing to take risks, right? Because real estate, there are risks. Yeah. I would say by all means, do it.
I mean, see, what is luck? I mean, you have such a great energy, you know, you do hard work, you attract the right resources towards yourself and you pay them. You are really giving them the opportunity to earn from you. Yep. While you are taking care of bigger things, you're not cleaning the pool yourself in for those houses, right? So it is a lot of, you know, entrepreneurial mind, so to say. Delegate what you can delegate so that you can do high value tasks, so to say.
That is one thing that I have a takeaway in the IT world is that only do what you're great at. So I went to school to be a developer, but I never developed, but I managed developers, but I would never develop today because that was not my skill set. So find the skill set, hone in on it, and delegate the rest.
Awesome. Any, Michelle, I know this has been very productive conversation. Do you have any words, you know, which you want to kind of tell our listeners, you know, anything specific?
So the one thing I would share with you is that I get a lot of people wanting to know how to get started. Yeah. And they're also fearful of taking that first, you know, that first jump. I wouldn't say do it the way I did, you know, because there's so many people, depending on where you're at, go and find the REIA groups. It's a real estate investment groups. They're in every state and a lot of cities, and go get joined there before you actually make a jump. Make sure you understand your asset classes, single family home, multifamily. You've heard the wholesalers before. Make sure you understand each class, asset class, and then also understand what it does from a tax perspective. That is very critical to have a great CPA on your team and a lawyer. By all means, have a lawyer too, because I have definitely needed a lawyer in several of my instances to support me, not really to fight for me, but to just support what I was doing. So there's definitely just get the help and get started in real estate, because I'm very passionate about it. So I can talk, I can probably talk your ear off.
No, Michelle, you know, this has been a very productive conversation, and I'm pretty sure that we will again connect on this podcast or somewhere else. I appreciate from the bottom of my heart that you took your time to come to the podcast and shared your valuable nugget for listeners. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is Friday before the Memorial Day, so you have a great long weekend.
Yes, I'll be working in the yard this weekend.
Wow. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar, signing off for today.